Get ready for an episode packed with healing insights and transformative journeys. Join me, Jane Marchiandi, alongside the incredible Dee Hurley, as we delve into the depths of energy healing and self-discovery. Dee, a practitioner of energy healing and bioresonance feedback scanning, brings her expertise and personal journey to the forefront. Having navigated the treacherous waters of narcissistic abuse and PTSD, Dee found solace and empowerment through her healing modalities. Tune in as Dee fearlessly shares her story, revealing the pivotal moments that propelled her from the shadows of trauma into the radiant light of self-love and healing. Get ready to be inspired, uplifted, and empowered as we uncover the transformative power of reclaiming one's inner strength and stepping into a life of mastery. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery with host Jane Marchiandi and Dee Hurley. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Dee.
Hi.
Really good to have you. So, I want to hear all about how you got into energy medicine. It must have been one of the only things that really helped after narcissistic abuse and PTSD. So yeah, just share that because that's a lot. I think we're just flesh and blood, right? But when you're in this kind of situation, you learn that we're far more than that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I had some wonderful friends, thankfully, at the end of this process when I was getting out of the narcissistic abusive marriage. And a couple of my friends had reached out to me to offer some support. They weren't local, but they had recommended a few books for me to read. One of them was about divorcing a narcissist by Tina Swithin, and another one was The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. And that book, The Emotion Code, really changed my life. I started reading it and it just resonated so much to me about how we are energy bodies and how we can carry emotions throughout our whole life that can affect the outcome of everything. And if we don't deal with those emotions and we don't process them in a healthy way, they can continue to contribute to all kinds of issues in our life, like getting into relationships that are unhealthy for us or having physical ailments throughout our lifetime. People can even have chronic diseases in their body and not even realize that it could be tied to some kind of trauma they've had in their past. So it was fascinating to learn all this when I was reading this book and putting the pieces of the puzzle together for myself. It just really caused me to do a deep dive into my life and why I had gotten to where I was and how am I going to get out of this and not repeat this, because I was in a cycle and I was so disappointed in myself and I was beating myself up because I didn't understand why I continued to find relationships that would, they were actually matching my energy. And at the time, I didn't realize that. But they were abusive in nature. And there was things in myself that I needed to heal so that I wouldn't continue to get into those kind of relationships in my life. And once I started doing that, working on myself energetically and releasing traumas from the past, I noticed everything around me changed. My whole environment changed. My friendships changed. People that I had known for years were like, boy, something's different about you. Like, wow, like you're happier, you're lighter, you're more confident. Like, what is going on with you? You know, they started noticing these good changes in me, but people that were used to being around me, the old version of me, they didn't really want to hang out with me as much anymore because it wasn't matching their energy field. And you'll notice that when you start doing energy healing work, is it does change your friendships. It changes everything because you start resonating at a different frequency, and energy is a real thing. You will notice that people who do not resonate with that energy no longer will be around you, and you no longer attract people who who will be abusive or use you or want to control you, manipulate you. And a lot of that starts with the self-love. And when we're loving ourselves and we're releasing emotions and baggage from the past, we are better able to set clear boundaries that will not allow people to treat us in a bad way. Just like I wouldn't allow someone to be abusive to my children. You start having a love for yourself where you won't allow someone in your field, in your energy field, who's going to be abusive to you. You're going to want to protect yourself, your inner child, when you start loving yourself more. And that was the key to all of it, was loving myself more and doing the inner healing work. And when you love yourself more, you will start doing the inner healing work. You know, it's like a circle thing here. We start looking inside ourselves for the answers. And I learned that I could muscle test myself and ask questions from my higher self and get answers to common issues that I was dealing with all the time. And when I learned to listen to that and trust my instincts, hearing that inner voice, it gave me so much more confidence in the decisions I was making and what I was doing in life. And when you're walking in your confidence and your true self and your true alignment, you're going to attract people that align with that energy. And I noticed that the friendships I started having were not to put a label on anybody, but it was like they were more productive and like financially secure and motivated. And they just had those qualities about them that you could tell they were high vibration and they love themselves and it just oozes out of them. You know, I'm sure you've met people like that in your life where they just kind of ooze this sunshine and they're just happy and they have contentment and they attract people to them because their energy field is a lot more expansive and it's filled with that love and joy. And when you learn about energy, that love and joy, it does broadcast a larger signal out there in the energetic field than someone who has been holding on to a lot of grief or anger or fear or dread. You know, those low vibration frequencies, they tend to kind of huddle in the corner and they're, you know, want to hide from the world. They don't want to be seen. But once you start peeling back those layers, you'll see it's like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. And I just love the work that I do because I get to work with people every day who are trying to come out of that cocoon, who are trying to find a way to come out and to be a center front stage of their own life. You know, they've been hiding in some kind of despair mode or feeling like nobody loves them. Or it's just these beliefs that they've taken on about themselves that we can start uncovering and start releasing and start healing. And they don't have to talk about their story. That's the most amazing part. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go into every detail, you know, lay on a couch and tell me your life story for this kind of healing to work. We just talk to your subconscious and ask directly, what emotion would your body like to release right now to help you feel better? Just very simple and direct. And you ask the subconscious and it'll give you an answer and you muscle test for the answer. When you come across the answer, you say, is it safe for this emotion to be released now? And you get a yes, then you're going to release. You're going to let that emotion go energetically. And you're going to feel the release of that emotion. Your whole body is going to be affected because of that. And it's just a beautiful process because people are shocked when they're crying and they're like, whoa, like, I can't believe how long I've been carrying that emotion around. It's been weighing me down and just holding me back. And we can have emotions from the time we come into this earth, you know, or even before. We can have trapped emotions from that we've inherited from family members. And once you start releasing that, it brings healing to not only yourself, but to generations and even your children, you know, who you can pass down emotions to your children, to your pets. And I love working on pets too. They're beautiful souls and they get trapped emotions too if they go through traumas. And I've seen some amazing things with pets happen. Even a friend of mine had a little dog that was paralyzed and got hurt. And we released some trapped emotions and her dog started walking again. And she was just shocked by that. Like, you know, it's, we all have these emotions and it's a chemical reaction in our brain. And science is finding this out now. And, you know, we live in a wonderful time now where we're getting to hear about this technology and hear how it really does line up. And it's not just woo-woo, you know, science is able to measure the frequencies of emotions and they can see it, you know, on a different scale than they were able to before. Of course, Einstein and Nikola Tesla knew about this stuff. And I don't know why we weren't all caught up onto that kind of information, but it was kept from a lot of us for some reason. And then I won't go into that rabbit hole, but a lot of information has been out there for a while. It's just wonderful to now talk to more people and hear it coming out and being spoken of in such a broader way. More people are being open to it. So yeah. I love to show people they can do this themselves. You can, anybody can do this. And you don't have to go to anyone special. Just go listen to yourself, you know, muscle test for yourself and get the answers, because all the answers are in our head. Your body knows what's best for you. And when we learn to trust that, everything else can start coming into an alignment. And we're so used to looking outside ourselves for the answers when they really are right inside of us all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really empowering. And to even realize that those emotions don't really belong to you and that you can release them is huge for a lot of people, right? Because we feel like they're part of us and that we have to.
Yeah.
You know,
and sometimes we just, yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I was going to say sometimes we feel like we have to carry around some emotions because of some belief that we're holding on to. Like, I know there was a time that I had felt a lot of pain about, you know, my divorce. I was so happy to get out and felt relief, but it was a real struggle for my three kids and having to go through the whole process, you know, with our family court system. It's extremely broken, and that's a whole other topic. But going through that and seeing what was happening to my kids, I felt like it was re-traumatizing me a little bit. You know, I had cleared PTSD and stuff using energy healing. And then there was a time where I was like kind of going backwards and I was like, what is going on with me? And I had to muscle test myself. And I found out that I was holding on to the guilt about my kids, you know, and what it was doing to them because I got out. And how hard it was on them and seeing that. And there was a belief in my body, like I wasn't allowed to be happy because my kids, you know, were struggling. And I started having the physical ailments because of that. So I had to work on myself again and like, okay, there's something else going on here, and ask the questions. Why was I having those physical problems again? Sometimes we are the hardest. Not sometimes, we are always hardest on ourselves. It's just how we are made for some reason. We beat ourselves up more than anyone else will. And I don't know why that is, but that's something we could all work on, I'm sure. Being kinder to ourselves and forgiving ourselves of things that you would typically forgive a friend for something. And sometimes we won't do it for ourselves. And it's a shame because we do need to be easier on ourselves and realize that we're doing the best we can. And we're all a work in progress. And I don't think anyone is perfect. Don't think anyone will arrive, you know, like I've got it all figured out. Like I got everything figured out now. I'm perfect. I'll never have any issues again. And this is just a journey where we're all learning these beautiful stories, you know, and lessons that hopefully we can share with others. And now I know that my kids as well, they're learning this story and they're learning to make better decisions because of what they've seen, hopefully, from all of this and how they can work on themselves and that it's okay to leave. You know, if you're being hurt, of course, get out, you know, and that was hard to find the strength to do that. And I know this today when my kids are older, they're going to realize that, too, that I had to make the choice to protect myself and to protect my kids, and that they can work on themselves too, so that they don't attract that kind of relationship. And I'm not putting the blame on the victim. I'm not saying that we always attract abusive people in our life because of who we are. So sometimes you can just be a beautiful, vibrant soul, and there can be energy vampires, you know, they're really attracted to that. They're jealous of it. They want that light, and they really do literally just suck the energy out of people with high vibration. They feed off of that. And we need to listen to that too. When you're around somebody and you start feeling that, pay attention, step away.
Yeah. Isn't that typical of narcissists?
Yeah.
They like to go after that light and that person that's vulnerable in that way, and then make you feel unsure of what you're even feeling.
Oh yeah. Those mind games they play to make you question everything. And then you have this doubt inside, and then you feel like you have to lean on them for the answers because you're not, oh, I just don't have this figured out. You start questioning yourself. Am I going crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the turning point for you? What was the final thing that made you realize that this isn't healthy, that I'm looking for the answers in the wrong place?
You know, I knew pretty much from the beginning. I hate to say that, but there were signs there that I was just ignoring right from the start. The very first time I met him, I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach, and it kind of knocked me back for a second because we had been talking online, and you think you know somebody, and it had been a long, many, many months. And then when he showed up and he was standing in front of me, the energy in my body reacted. And I tried to just kind of blow it off. And I thought, you know, just be chill. You know, this person, it's okay. And I let him in the door. And that's where I went wrong right there. I should have immediately listened to that energy in my body that was saying something's wrong. And it was like this gut feeling. Mm. And I've heard so many times people say, you listen to your heart, listen to your gut, you know, when this stuff happens, because it's really trying to tell you something. And the very first week I had my first episode with an ulcer. Never heard of them. I never knew what they were. You know, I was 30 years old, never heard of an ulcer. But I had this awful pain that was just striking me like a knife. And I had to go to the emergency room. And the doctor said it was an ulcer. And there was this anxiety in my body that I was just ignoring from being around his vibration and his energy. It was making me sick right from the get-go. And I just kept telling myself that it was just in my head, and, you know, he's a good person and he seems to have it, you know, figured out. He seems to be so much smarter than me, and I really should just listen to him. And I didn't realize that the whole time he was tearing down my confidence and self-esteem, and I was getting more reliant on him to give answers for everything, and feeling like I couldn't figure things out on my own. And it was this little manipulation that was going on, and I just was not seeing it. And my friends saw it. One of my friends saw it. My mom saw it, but I had my rose colored glasses on, you know,
well, we're thinking that our nature, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're kind and loving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the signs were there. Your body was speaking, but it took a while to really let it speak and get you out of the situation. But it's always hard.
It's like the programming that we have. You want to believe the best in everybody. You want to think they all have such good intentions. And, you know, I was raised in a very religious environment, and it was, you know, always be kind and be nice and be polite and have humility. And I was just one of those women that just, you know, he's a man, I should just let him lead. And he says he's this and that, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And when everything inside me was saying just the opposite, it was the programming in my brain that I couldn't get over. You know, I had to get that stuff fixed. that takes a long time. And 11 and a half years of putting up with that, thinking all the time that it's going to get better. He's going to get better. You know, he's going to take anger classes, so it's going to get better. And then months later, he's doing the same thing. And all the promises and the love bombing, you know, you go up and down the highs and lows, and then you get addicted to that. And you feel like that environment becomes your comfort zone, especially if you're in it a long time. It's the only thing you know after a while, and you don't know how to function outside of that. So it took a lot of the peeling back the layers and releasing the years and years of that and the PTSD. And,
Hey, Dee, love bombing is interesting, isn't it? Because it, again, comes from outside, and it's what we hope to receive ultimately is love. But really what you're talking about at the beginning about self-love is more important. So it's like an aha somewhere along the line, isn't it? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I always tell patients too that to forgive themselves, because every human is programmed from the time 0 to 7, and we can't have perfect programming. It's almost impossible here. There's going to be something that trips us up. And I guess that's in the learning, right?
And either we get it in our home, or we get it from people around us. You know, school, I see things my daughter's struggling with already. She's in sixth grade, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, it's so deep. It's hardwired in everybody, you know? Mm-hmm.
Even with the best intent, it happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what finally made you realize that you were done and needed to do the healing work and move beyond it?
Yeah. Well, there was an incident with our family. We had taken a trip, a family vacation. It was kind of, we don't do that very often, or we didn't. And we went out of town, and he had lost patience with the kids because we were stuck inside this hotel room and it's raining and we weren't able to go out. And he got extremely upset with our youngest one. She was crying and needing help and wanting to play in the little tablet thing. And her brother wasn't helping her. And he got mad at him for not helping her. And he screamed at him and he hit his fist on the table and said, I'm going to kill him. And he jumped up and he grabbed my son so quick, right before my eyes, grabbed him by the back of the neck, picked him up. And my son's crying, has this look of shock on his face, and threw him to the ground. And he was like, you know, you're going to help your sister now. And just really in a rage. And I was sitting on the bed in the hotel room and I just started shaking like, what the crap? I tried to calm him down. And I tried to just stand with him to get him to calm down, you know, and get the situation mellowed out, because I was afraid if I did anything wrong. I mean, I've seen him lose his temper a lot, you know, like punching holes in the wall and stuff. But that incident there just scared me so bad. And sorry, it choked me up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was like in a, was it Frozen? Like Frozen. I didn't know what to do. I just had to like try to keep the situation calm for the three kids. And when we got home, I remember going to a place quietly so I could call my mom, and I told my mom what happened. And I was like, Mom, I don't know what it's going to take. I just know that I'm so done. I'm so done, and I'm ready to get out. I got to get out. And I had said things like that before, but that was the first time I knew that I was not going to turn around. That was it. Yeah. And after that, I started putting the pieces together, and a friend helped me get some funds together to hire an attorney, because you had to get a huge deposit. And when someone else is controlling the finances in your marriage and everything, it's really hard to get something like that together and be secretive about it, not get caught, because I was afraid. I mean, I knew that he sometimes would talk about suicide, and I didn't know how he would react if I decided to leave. And that was a big deal after I left. I had him served. I took my kids to a hotel room and he was served, and because I didn't want to be there with the kids, because I just didn't know how he would react. And we stayed like the weekend in the hotel, and then we went back. and I got my things, you know, and moved out pretty quickly. And he, later on, I was looking at our cell phone bill. We were supposed to split the bill. And we're trying to look at everything. And I realized that he was calling suicide hotlines, like suicide, sex lines, prayer lines, over and over and over. The day that I gave him, you know, he was served. And a couple days after that, and I really thought that was a good thing that I kept the kids in a hotel room when he was being served, because he was definitely going through some emotional turmoil. And I'm glad we were not there, easily accessible to whatever temperament he was in. Yeah. But I later got in trouble for that. He told the courts that I had alienated him from the kids and kept the kids from him for a year. It was one weekend. And I don't know how, but courts don't listen to actual evidence and facts. It's really weird. They believed him, and actually he got full custody of our kids for a while, and that was really scary.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I think what I hear is that at one point you realize that you can't heal someone else. You've tried. Yeah. You've loved them no matter what, but there's a time when they have to do their own healing and you have to be strong and walk away from it.
Yeah, I kept thinking that I could fix it. I could make him happy. And I tried so many things. I got like so many different things that I tried over the years, like getting more into church and reading my Bible more and trying to be like as submissive as I could be. You know, I tried so many things to make him happy. And I remember there was one point where I even told him, like, I can't make you happy. I don't think you're ever going to be happy. I have spent so many years in my life just pouring into you mm-hmm. and building you up, building your career, building everything that you need to make you happy. I don't even know who I am. I have no clue who I am. It was always about him and keeping the peace, whatever he wanted. And that was huge revelation to myself. And then when I got out too, just trying to find out who I was without him and trying to please his everything and jump at everything, you know, mm-hmm. I discovered so many things about myself that made me fall in love with myself, you know, like, wow, like mm-hmm. I am totally different from this person. And I have all these different likes that I didn't even realize I had. It was weird.
Yeah, but beautiful, right? Like these yeah. really difficult things are about self-discovery in the end. But it takes time to realize.
Yes, that. It does take
because there's
time.
Meltdowns. Yeah. Yes. So, so you mm-hmm. discovered energy medicine at that time. You read these two books. It was really empowering, and then realizing that it's really not all your fault, but you can let go of some of this stuff. And then you found bioresonance, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that came along the next step. Like my mind was open to all these different holistic possibilities out there. And it just seemed like the world was my oyster. I'm seeing all kinds of wonderful, beautiful technologies out there now that you can use to help realign your body energetically. And it seems like all the time we're seeing new technologies coming out. But I love my scanner that I use. I use emotion code and body code with my clients. And I also use it's actually an app. You can download the app on your phone and make a profile, and you can scan yourself and you can see what emotions are either overused or most underused emotions. And it'll send energetic frequencies to you to help rebalance you to your perfect state of being, you know, for your body. And it's gentle nudges. It's not anything overwhelming. But if you do that every day and you continue to keep energetically rebalancing yourself, it's amazing. It'll clear like 25, 30 trapped emotions in just one scan, where I can work with somebody 35, 45 minutes and get about the same. It's just a different one.
What is the Opti? That's very cool.
It's a Solex device, and if you go to my website at lighthouseenergyhealing.com, I have some more information on there about it and how it works. It does a lot. It can even read like the vitals in your body and tell you like what's going on with your organs, your blood work, tell you like the underlying cause of something. Like it could show that there's something in your DNA, like maybe you have some chronic Lyme in your DNA that's passed down, it's hereditary, and you might want to keep an eye on it. You know, if you do a couple of scans and you see something like that coming up, mm-hmm. like three times, and you know, you probably want to do a little deeper dive into it and find out, is this something that I can work on? Because it could be triggered later on, you know, with stress and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it often lays dormant and then bam.
Yeah.
So, and what kind of what kind of information do you put in to get that back out?
So I put, it wants to have a picture. So you put a picture of yourself in there and you make sure that there's nothing in the background that could interfere with the frequency. So just a good selfie without any jewelry or hat or glasses, just like anything with just your skin, because your skin puts out frequencies. Or you can do a picture of your hand. The palm of your hand works. And then you put your name, your date of birth, your height, your weight, your email, where you want the reports to go. And then when you scan, it'll pick up whatever, it'll target that person that's in the profile, because everybody has a different energy frequency they put out. And I always tell people to start with the inner voice scan. So you're going to talk in the scanner for 10 seconds and it picks up frequencies in your voice, and like a lie detector. And it'll show what's in most out of range. And then you can listen to those frequencies that it'll give you. And just put your headphones on and listen to these nice tones that have an underlying vibration in there that's helping rebalance things in your body. That one's the best one for PTSD too. They've had a lot of testimonies of people using the inner voice one for PTSD. And then there's like the vitals comprehensive body system scan that does a full hormone scans, like all the areas the hormones are scanned. It'll tell you what's out of balance and what's not. And just it's so detailed, but people can get a little overwhelmed with it because it can do so much. So I just tell them, hey, just play around with it. It's like a cell phone. Once you get to know it, it's no big deal. It'll become a breeze just to get up in the morning, hit scan yourself. You can put your vitamins and everything in there in the supplement library, and it'll tell you exactly what vitamins you need for the day. So you're not overloading your kidneys and your liver with too many vitamins, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just tells you what you need. So yeah. I love it.
Really empowering. Love it. Yeah. So people can find that at your website.
And yeah. If they lighthouseenergyhealing.com, there's some information on there about the scanning app or emotion code, body code sessions.
Excellent. And then, so that's where they could reach out to you as well if they wanted to get more information about what you do or some guidance.
Yeah, and I'm on Instagram and TikTok, LinkedIn, all those places too, on Facebook. Yeah.
Great. Can you send me those links and then we'll put them in the show notes?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you so much, Dee. Is there anything that you would like to leave us with that is just, you know, a last pep talk?
Maybe just listen to your inner self more and don't be too hard on yourself. Life is just such a beautiful journey. And even you can even find joy in the pain after a while, because you realize that it was all just part of your beautiful unfolding.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Thank you, hun.
Thank you, Jane. It was so nice to meet you.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There's one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my Linktree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.